Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Budela.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
Oh, okay. I tell you, I'm not a happy camper right now because I just recorded all these little things to go between the clips that I'm about to play for you. Just realized I fucked it up. So, you know what? I don't know how this is going to turn out. We'll just go with it. So this is the best of the crap, volume 2. The first episode of it covered episodes 1 through 10. This one's going to cover 11 through 14. Now, why 11 through 14, you're going to ask me? Well, a couple things. First of all, 1 through 10 is where we were, like, as babies, we were crawling around. And we were okay. There were some highlights in there. But for the most part, we were just literally shitting in our diapers all the time. And that's really all we did. But 11 is where we start to do cute stuff. It's the stage where right before you really walk, you're doing that thing where you pull yourself up on furniture and stuff. And they're like, oh, look, he's pulling himself. I don't know what voice I'm doing. Oh, look, he's pulling himself up on furniture. He's going to walk soon. Isn't that great? And you're just like, you know what? That is impressive. But let me know when he's walking. I mean, that's a cute thing. And he's doing more cute things now. But let me know when he starts walking, because that's going to be like a really important thing. Point is, there's more to play for you now. The second thing is that I'm tired and I just want to be done editing this together. I'll be honest. But you know what? It's going to turn out to be pretty funny for you, because I found the best of this stuff. You know what? You should just enjoy it. The first clip is... shit, what is the first clip? The first clip is a little flight of fancy that I went on about why Jabba the Hutt got so fat for Return of the Jedi. And possible explanations to it, what was going on in his life. You know, I'll just play it for you.
So Jabba's not that huge in that scene, and he's able to move around on his own. So how much time passes between episode 4 and episode 6 where Jabba just lets himself go to shit?
You're saying that he is significantly fatter by the time Return of the Jedi comes out.
I feel, and granted, I didn't go back and check this, but I feel like he is 3 times the size.
3 times?
I feel like it's like 3 times the size. Maybe it's like 2.5.
The time difference, if you want to know,
all right,
is approximately between A New Hope and Empire is supposed to be approximately 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay.
And the difference between Empire and Jedi is much shorter. I think it's maybe 6 months to a year.
Okay. So even at the most, then, it's like 4 years that go by.
Right.
But he really let himself go in 4 years.
You're right. He did.
He just really, really fucking went downhill.
Now, could it also be a product of just shitty work done by George Lucas to make that CGI Jabba the Hutt in episode 4 not comparable to the one in Jedi? Like, he just didn't take into account his size, because George Lucas doesn't take into account anything.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely possible, and that's probably what happened. But I just like to think about it in the actual world, what happened to Jabba the Hutt? Did he develop, like, an eating disorder? Did a chick break up with him? Like, what happened?
Well,
that he went so downhill.
He sits in his palace there, and they show him. He's got those little animals that he eats out of that bowl of water or whatever it is. He takes them and he just throws them in his mouth. He must just be doing that a lot. He's eating live animals. Maybe they're just very fattening. I don't know.
Did something trigger? Did he have a bad experience? Was he really upset about Han Solo?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, Han was a smuggler, and I think he made a lot of money for Jabba, even though he was mad at him for dumping that spice when he was boarded by.
What fucking spice did he? Is
legal spice.
A spice, a code word for drugs, I'm assuming?
I think so, yes.
But this is for the kids. So.
Yeah. So
that's why they talk about trade embargoes and shit.
So he got boarded, and he had to dump that. So despite that, though, I think Han Solo made a lot of money for Jabba the Hutt. And Han Solo he went rogue, and rogue as far as smugglers go, and joined the rebels there. And, maybe Jabba was a little upset. I don't know. He just started binge eating.
Do they not have Intergalactic Biggest Loser?
No, I don't think so. I think that was outlawed by the Empire.
Probably.
It's too uplifting, especially at the end.
You see everybody make such breakthroughs that.
Yeah, you don't, you know, it's like, oh, well, so-and-so made all this progress. Look at how much they did if they applied themselves. You can't have that.
You can't, and I mean, you can't have Jabba the Hutt having a breakthrough. I eat because I'm unhappy.
And I'm unhappy because I eat.
I just want my parents to be proud of me.
That and the Imperials, you know, I think that the Jabba the Hutt thing, you know, it was kind of like a necessary evil where they allowed his crime syndicate to exist, you know, in spite of their laws, just because you got to maintain a little bit of order, you know?
Yeah.
You know, organized crime is a necessary evil, which we know.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it gets a little out of hand, but, you know, that's, you know.
It's a little process to, clean out the unwanteds. I think it's fun to imagine a world where Jabba the Hutt just develops an eating disorder.
I think it'd be great. Maybe a business starts going downhill a little bit, you know. The Imperials are tightening their restrictions on his activities, and he just gets depressed. You know, there's not too many women huts around.
Maybe. Well, wait a minute. Maybe. Oh, this would be great. George Lucas would never go for it. But what if?
Why is it a good idea? Jabba the
Hutt was having an affair with Greedo.
What?
And then Han shoots him, and he's dead. So Jabba's one true love is now dead.
I can't imagine.
He just develops an eating disorder because his true love is now killed.
Is now fried. And Han was very callous about it, at least in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
That would actually... George Lucas would not go for that. But I like the idea. I just can't imagine a Hutt having sex. And like, I know they must have sex with each other.
Well, how do slugs have sex?
I don't know. I mean, they're very similar, except slugs just don't have a face.
and they're also not a leader of organized crime, so.
That's true too. But the Hutts are very smart. They're very intelligent. They come from a... I'm about to geek out here. They come from a planet called Nal Hutta, and the moon. There's also huts on the moon called Nal Sharda, I believe. And they're a very intelligent race. They're very big into the crime syndicates.
As opposed to normal
slugs. I'm going to go shoot myself right now.
As opposed to what normal slugs are.
Yeah.
The everyday slug, not so much organized crime.
I know.
Gambino family, not made of slugs.
The Gambinos.
Slugs, not behind the Kennedy assassination.
No, definitely not. But the mob was.
What if one day we found out Jabba the Hutt was actually behind the Kennedy
assassination? He was there. He was wielding that fucking gun. He had a bolt-action rifle.
Jabba the Hutt's just hanging out in Dallas.
I think I've seen him down there. I think I'm related to him.
You know, I was thinking about it, and or if this show actually becomes popular and George Lucas hears this, he's probably going to sue us. Actually, no, he won't. Because, probably not. He might sue us because Greg kind of insults him, but that's a recurring thing. So, I mean, it could be this episode or any episode, really. But now that Disney owns it, they might sue us. But you know what? Fuck George Lucas. Fuck Disney. We're just stating an opinion here. Now, this next bit was in the bit before that, which is the part where Greg goes on a little rant about the beginning of Jedi. And this is the video that is up on our YouTube channel, which I thought was great and funny, but apparently a couple Star Wars people got pissed off. They were trying to explain to us why it was a really good plan, why it was a good opening, why every part was needed, why they needed the droids, why they needed Leia to be in there, all that shit. But really, the plan just fails. Doesn't seem like a very good plan. I'll just let Greg go on and explain it.
But no, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, I was going to get into a whole thing about the whole Jabba the Hutt scene in Jedi, and I don't even know if I can do it right now. It just gets me too worked up.
Yeah, they spend way too long there.
It's like 40 minutes. I mean, how can you start a movie and, all right, they send the droids there first. Like, what the fuck are they going to do? They send, all right, R2-D2, I'll give him. He's quick on his feet. You know, he thinks he's, what's the word? Someone who comes up with shit. I don't know,
what are you trying to say? He's wicked smart?
He's wicked smart. He's like a Swiss Army knife on wheels. Like, he's somewhat useful as long as he's with the right people. But they don't send him with the right people. They send him with C-3PO, which is the biggest, stupidest, bumbling idiot droid in the whole fucking galaxy. And they go in, like, what are they possibly gonna do?
For a protocol droid, he's a fucking idiot.
He's so stupid. And does anyone sympathize with C-3PO when he's got his battles with Han Solo? Han Solo hates him. And with good reason.
Does anyone care when he gets torn apart?
No one cares because he's a douchebag. But, anyway, so they send the droids. And then, what do? They send Leia in disguise, and then they send Lando. And Lando doesn't do anything. Yeah. I mean, he hangs out, and then he even pulls his little mask down in the middle of Jabba's palace to be like, hey, viewers, if you didn't catch it, I'm actually Lando Calrissian. You should have understood that because I'm black, and, like, there's only 3 black guys in the whole series. Yeah. So if you didn't think I was Lando, you're stupid. By the way,
and also, drink Colt 45.
Right. I love 40s. But anyways, I'm going to pull down my mask here so you can see my suave mustache and you know that it's just Lando infiltrating. And then eventually Luke shows up and he walks in and he starts using the Force. He thinks he's a fucking Jedi already. He's pushing the pig man around and he's just like, I am a Jedi. And he throws that out there,
The fucking Rancor.
Yeah.
That eats the fat guard. That guy as a guard?
No, the pigmen are terrible guards. I don't even think they carry guns.
No, I'm talking about the human guy. Guy that's...
The human guy is the Rancor keeper.
Doesn't he get eaten?
No, he doesn't get eaten.
I thought he did.
I was casted as him. I'm not even joking. Wait, hold on. I have an action figure of him still in the box. Hold on. I gotta go grab it. I gotta find his name. All right. I don't know where it went. But anyways, I was casted as the Rancor Keeper. I guess that would make Cosmo the Rancor.
I thought he got eaten, but here's the thing. Now that I know the timeline, so this is their plan. they send in all these people and do all this stuff, and it took them a year to come up with this plan?
That's what bothers me, too.
Jabba's palace is a hidden place. Like, you know where it
is. You let Han Solo hang out, stuck in carbonite, for a year while you devise this absolutely awful plan? I mean, are you kidding me? You'd send in the droids first?
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like the plan absolutely fails, and then they're just improvising.
Yeah, they were lucky to get out of that.
So what I don't know, why not just send Luke in as the bounty hunter in disguise? Why do you have to send Leia in?
Yeah, talk about useless. What does she do? She does maybe... how many useful things does she do throughout the series? Maybe two? She shoots that stormtrooper in the fucking head when they were on Endor. And... I don't know. Usually she just gets in the way, and she gets all emotional about shit.
She gives him medals.
Yeah, she gives him medals. I don't know. I just think of her complaining in Jedi, and being a bitch to Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
and,
Jedi's just no good.
I mean, I feel like she was on the rag that entire movie. But yeah, so you send her in dressed as the fucking bounty hunter, and then, here's the other useful thing she does. She shoots that fucking stormtrooper in the head on Endor, and then she unfreezes Han. That's it.
She does kill Jabba.
Yeah, but he was gonna die anyways, cause they blew up the fucking ship, so whatever. I mean, that was useless at that
point. Yeah, but she didn't know they were gonna blow up the ship.
That's true.
She does take vengeance on it. And she's also started a thing where nerd girls dress up in slave costumes.
You know, she was much hotter in Empire. I don't care. Like, she was wearing that fucking slave costume, but she just looked a little trashy. You know, she was all coked out by that point anyways.
I know, I'm just saying it's a thing that chicks do now.
Oh, no, I know. You're right. I just want to nitpick.
See, I don't know, after listening to that, how anybody can disagree with us. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, unless they're an idiot, or they're George Lucas, or they're one of those guys that was in People vs. George Lucas. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch the documentary. It's really funny. Let's see. Where are we at in this show now? Oh, we skipped 12, because that's part one of the two-parter on The Dark Knight Rises. And then we go in towards the end of 13. It was kind of a dry episode, or two episodes, because we were talking about Dark Knight Rises, and we weren't really making fun of it as much as we should have been. We were more actually legitimately reviewing it. Now, Greg in here says that, and I agree, that we both generally liked it and enjoyed it. I want to take that statement back. I can't speak for Greg on this, but I want to take that statement back, because the more I watch it, the more it enrages me and just makes me angry that people think this movie was so good. There's so much extra shit. It's fucking long. There's too much setup of everything, which apparently I think is actually a recurring plot in the so-called best Christopher Nolan movies. See Inception. It's 95% of Inception is exposition. So just keep that in mind next time you're watching it. You're welcome. I would cut that part out, but again, just too lazy. I take it back. I can't stand it. It's just a pain. There's just so much that doesn't make sense. Huge plot holes in the movie. I hate it. I hate it. Let's be honest. Dark Knight, still wonderful. Character arc was still pretty solid. I don't like it. So, let's go back to the happy thing. We were doing a discussion then at the end of if Batman had a sense of humor and what his sense of humor would be like. So we'll dive into Batman here.
If Batman had a sense of humor, which I'm not sure he entirely would.
No, I don't know.
I don't know if Batman would have a sense of humor. I almost think he would have to not actually kill himself in the process. But if he had a sense of humor, it would be very dry, which reflects in this movie, and I think everybody has a very dry sense of humor in this. It's very British. But I think sense of humor fits kind of the environment that Batman would live in. I think he would, if he had a sense of humor, which I'm going to be honest, I don't think he would. Or maybe he would almost have to. He wouldn't be like Superman. He wouldn't have super humor.
No, he definitely wouldn't have super humor. No, no, Batman's favorite show is Fawlty Towers.
he would have a very kind of dry sense of humor, and he would point out the problems with things, but kind of be like, I forgive you for it. It's kind of funny now. And forgive you for your faults in kind of a weird, ironic, British sort of way.
I can see it.
Because I don't think he would laugh at stupid jokes.
You don't think Batman likes dick jokes?
I don't think Batman likes knock-knock jokes. Like, I don't think Batman likes any kind of jokes that he doesn't make himself.
You're probably right. Yeah, I mean, do you think he ever laughs at anyone else?
I don't know. Like, I mean, if you try to tell a knock-knock joke to Batman, like, I don't think that would go well.
Like, I don't even think he'd answer you. He'd be like, knock, knock, and he'd just, like, look at you.
He would just stare at you, and then you would try it again, and you go, knock, knock. And he would just stare at you and be even more pissed off. And you would try it one more time, and be like, knock, knock. Who's there? Maybe I should tell you this one. Have you heard the one about the interrupting cow?
Oh, he'd kill you. No, he can't kill you, but he would injure you.
So, kids, if you ever see Batman on the streets, whatever you do, don't tell him a joke.
Let him tell you one.
No, because it'll probably involve him punching you in the face.
Then we found more excuses to do the Batman voice, and we tried to answer the question as to what crime is too small for Batman, and we did it by doing more of the Batman voice.
He's mental. Batman is crazy.
At what level do you say no to being Batman? Like, what crime is too small for you?
Well, that's a problem, too. I mean, so now, if you're that righteous, you're that, like, involved, now you're going to go out and you're going to have to try to solve every fucking bank robbery and rape and everything that goes on? You can't. It's craziness. You drive yourself crazy trying to do stuff like that.
There was a woman at a Walmart that was approached by a gentleman that said he was from America's Funniest Home Videos and asked to see her feet.
Oh, my God.
And if he could kiss her feet, then he would, and it would definitely make the video. So she's like, well, okay. And then when she takes her foot out of the shoe, he starts sucking on her toes. And she freaks out, understandably.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And then he runs away. First of all, why would you say yes to that?
Stupid.
I mean, unless the guy had a crew with him, which the article that I read, I don't think he had, like, multiple people with him. I think it was just him with a camera. Why would you say yes to that?
Maybe he did the Bob Saget cat voice. Like, hey there, I'm a cat. I'm going to suck on your feet. No?
I'm going to say no.
Same voice for the dog, too. Hey there, I'm a dog.
So, my point is, would Batman get involved with a crime that low? Would Batman burst into Walmart? There's a woman that got her toes sucked by a strange man.
Where's the toe sucker?
Give me 5 minutes before your men contaminate the toes.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was the other part that I laughed at when he tackled Ban and goes, where are the detonators? Where are they? Because I feel that's exactly the same as what he did to the Joker.
Yeah, the just over the top. Where is he? The over the top Batman.
Yeah,
voice.
when he was interrogating him in the room. Yeah. And he goes, in the interrogation room.
Where are they?
Well named. I tried doing that. The voice just hurts my throat so much. I don't know how Christian Bale did it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said it hurts him too.
Yeah, oh yeah. When we were leaving the theater, there was a teenage kid that was repeating the lines to his friend. And I couldn't tell if they were taken by their mother or grandmother, because the woman looked quite old, and they kept asking her what she thought, and she kept going, I need to process. I need to process. I don't know how she couldn't understand what was going on by the way that they specifically expressed every step of the process that led you there. I'm not sure what she had to process, but we'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it wasn't overly vague.
Yeah, it wasn't like Memento or something like that, like where you're like, wait a minute, he knew that at the end? Wait, oh, it was done backwards? It was pretty straightforward for a Nolan movie,
right?
But he's saying at the end, and Rachel turns to me and goes, I would make fun of him, but that's probably what you're gonna say. And I was like, no, the difference is, I'm going to wait. And later on, when we're in the living room and I'm trying to find the remote, I'm going to go, where's the remote? Where is it? Oh. Where is my coffee? Where is it?
Make me a coffee, Rachel. Perfect that her name's Rachel, too.
I'm going to change it for the scene. Yeah. People just film me saying that stuff to her. People assume that I'm doing the impression of Batman talking to a ghost. just Batman wandering around Wayne Manor going, Rachel, where is it? Make me my coffee.
All right, that brings us to episode 14, which is the last episode featured in this episode. It starts off with Greg bringing us an article that's kind of fucked up, but I mean, that's what Greg does. He looks up fucked up articles. I mean, so do I. So, I mean, you've obviously hopefully you've listened to this show before. It's about a man who was caught having, you know what? If you haven't heard this already, I'm not going to ruin it for you. Just make sure that there are no kids in the room because they may be scarred for life, because of what they're about to hear. Well, you know what? I mean, you shouldn't really be listening to us with kids in the room, unless you got the little headphones in. Otherwise, that's just bad parenting. So, don't blame us then when your kids are saying dirty words, because that's on you. Or they're the kids that they hang out with, or the TV, or the media.
I pulled up a little article I wanted to read to you. Thought you might enjoy the story. It's about a very classy individual.
I didn't know.
His name is Charles Marshall. Okay. Oh, what?
I was going to ask if I had dated this classy individual.
Oh, no.
Clearly I have not.
I don't know. I mean, how many men have you dated?
I'm counting you. One.
Charles Marshall, accused of having sex with teddy bear for fourth time. Charles Marshall of Cincinnati is accused of having sex with a teddy bear for the fourth time in the past 2 years. Marshall was arrested Wednesday after employees at a health clinic saw him masturbating with a teddy bear in an alley, according to a police report obtained. Marshall has three previous convictions for either public indecency or disorderly conduct with a teddy bear. This latest time, he was hit with a disorderly conduct charge.
So the charge wasn't actually, like, having sex with a teddy bear. It was disorderly conduct.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I guess technically it's not a crime to have sex with a teddy bear, but you probably shouldn't be doing it in public.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say, I mean, if you... let's say you cut a hole in a teddy bear.
Right.
And have sex with it. How is that any different than just jerking off?
I feel like it's probably going to take a hell of a lot longer.
I mean, that's probably true. But, I mean, it's weird. It's definitely weird, but it's, if you're doing it in the privacy of your own home, then it shouldn't be illegal, necessarily.
No, I agree. But, yeah, no, he likes
but
to
if
do
you're,
it
in- he, but he's doing it in the back alley?
He was doing it in an alley. Also, Marshall was first busted in February 2010 when witness spotted him engaging a stuffed teddy bear in a men's room at a public library, which prompted a judge to order him to stay away from all Hamilton public libraries. He was again arrested in November 2010 and August 2011 for masturbating with a stuffed animal, teddy bear in quotes, and masturbating using a teddy bear in a public place where minors were likely to be present. I mean, I guess the library qualifies as that.
Yeah.
I also like that they throw in here, the police report notes that it is unclear whether Marshall used the same teddy bear on each occasion.
That was going to be my next question. Was it the same teddy bear?
The fact that they felt the need to note such a thing is amazing.
Well, if they arrested him, wouldn't they have taken that as evidence?
I don't know. I mean, you would think, but God, I mean, would you... I don't think I could touch it. What would you do with it? Would you give it back? You know how, like, you know, they keep your shit when you're in jail? Or from what I understand, I've never been.
Right, but they'll take your wallet and your watch and your keys and your belt and all that shit and put it in a bag and then you get it back at the end. I know that for sure from The Usual Suspects.
Right.
And the beginning of The Blues Brothers. But...
Yeah.
Does he...
One soiled.
Yeah. One prophylax. That joke took me so long to get. Because I think I said that I watched that movie when I was pretty young.
Right.
And I didn't know what a prophylactic was.
Well, yeah, that's kind of tough.
And then finally when I figured it out, I was like, soiled. Oh. Oh, God. Wouldn't the teddy bear be considered evidence? Which makes me think that somewhere, like some warehouse where they keep police records, there is four boxes next to each other with this guy's name on them, and each one has a teddy bear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing, that there has to be... Because they probably did keep it. I mean, what are they going to do? So... There's probably an evidence room just with teddy bears with holes in them. Yeah. Just filled with this guy's jizz.
And then if you believe the Toy Story universe, these bears come to life at night and talk and going, wasn't that fucked up?
They're probably pissed.
They have a little support group.
Well, at this point, they can form one. It's happened enough times. Ugh.
Do you think there are other stuffed animals in that same evidence room that other people had sex with? So it's four bears that were assaulted by the same guy, and then there's like a Hello Kitty doll and like a Dora the Explorer.
Oh, there's definitely a Dora the Explorer.
And like a stuffed monkey, and they all get together and they just talk about their... And they go, I'm having a good week so far. I've managed to stay out of the drug supply in Locker 15. And
Well, you got to imagine that this has probably happened with some other people. Because, I mean, Cincinnati, big town, also Cincinnati. It's disgusting. I'm sure there's a few creeps there that are having sex with teddy bears.
Have you ever been to Cincinnati?
No, but I've seen things. I have the internet, Keith. Have you?
No, I've never been to Cincinnati. I've been to the Cincinnati airport, which is actually in Kentucky. So maybe that's a sign that Cincinnati is so bad they can't even put the airport there. They move it to another state.
I mean, have you ever heard of anything good happening in Cincinnati?
There's the mighty Bengals of Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I mean, at least go with the Reds.
All right.
But still, no, there's nothing good about Cincinnati. But anyways, I digress. But this story kind of reminds me of, did you ever hear the story about the guy that was having sex with the snowmen?
No.
Yeah, yeah. He was caught running around a neighborhood with his pants down, and he was just running up to the snowmen that the children had made earlier in the day and just railing the snowman. And as messed up as it is, as funny as it is, I think the best way to look at it, if you want to be shocked, is just think of it as like a mom in the house. Like, your children made a snowman out, it was like a real wholesome day. They had the day off from school. They made a snowman out in the front yard. You're making dinner and you glance out the window and there's just some guy just fucking the shit out of the snowman. I don't know. It really puts things into perspective.
He wasn't finishing with each snowman, was he?
I don't even know how he could have been hard.
Yeah, I mean, it was cold.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can be hard in the cold, but it doesn't help. Trust me.
Yeah.
I did want to note that there is actually a... I don't know if I really want to call it a medical condition where people get aroused by teddy bears. I don't think I can pronounce this. Ursagallomatophilia? I don't know. But it's also known as plushophilia.
So, but isn't that like the people that dress up as like furry animals?
The furries? The fuzzies?
Yeah, whatever they're called.
I mean, I don't know if it's related, but that does happen. That shit's fucked up.
Well, I mean, I would imagine it would be real.
I guess, yeah, but at least there's people inside those suits. And then, like, they go back to their hotel room and they just get all sorts of weird. You can take that for whatever you want.
All sorts of weird.
Well, I mean, it's already...
They go back, they make hot chocolate, and they watch reruns of Touched by an Angel.
I was going to say Saint Elsewhere, but, you know.
But Touched by an Angel is so much better.
All right.
Because there's the woman with the Scottish accent. And she's like, oh, but that, oh, God loves ya.
Terrible impersonation. Oh my god.
So that led into a long discussion in us researching furries. Let me give you the rundown of that. Turns out furries aren't really about weird sex stuff. There's a small portion of them that are. There's a small portion of them that are. But for the most part, they just like... Well, originally they just like animals with human features. But then they also like just dressing up in like fur costumes and hanging out and stuff. And escaping reality, I would assume, just like we all do. So... There's a large portion of those people out there that are actually, like, I guess you could say boycotting the sexy furries. Just the dirty furries, the dirty furs. That just really like to get down in animal costumes. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that for me to say that, but I guess they're just like, you're giving furries a bad name because people just think we like to fuck, and like that guy and that other guy in that weird costume in The Shining, you know, the one where the butt flaps open even though he's blowing the guy, kind of makes me think that there's another guy in the room, like a third guy somewhere, and he was just like watching and then he was gonna join in, you know. I seriously only just now thought of that. Maybe there was a third guy. Somebody tell Greg that. About that. There was a third man on the grassy knoll. He was in a bunny costume. He was about to fuck the bear that was blowing the guy. When What's-Her-Face came up the fucking stairs. On an unrelated note about The Shining, I think we're doing a Shining dedicated episode. So, if you have anything about The Shining that you want to tell us about, share any little thoughts, observations, things like that, send us an email. bywpodcast@gmail.com. Now, where the fuck were we? Oh, we found out that there are furry conventions in the country, possibly around the world, that, because while we were trying to figure out how many there were, largest one turns out to be close to home for me in Pittsburgh, and we try to figure out what that would be like, or what the other ones would be like.
I really want to know if there is some sort of a number on how many furries there are. I'd be really curious to know.
Oh, let's look that up. There's one thing that I was reading that said there's about 0.1% of Americans are furries, which means about 300,000.
Really?
Yep.
Point one?
0.1%.
That's 300,000? Wouldn't that be... Yeah, all right, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to bother doing the math.
No, that's crazy. I mean, that's a pretty decent amount of people.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be pretty huge.
I mean, that's like, that's a pretty good-sized city right there, full of furries.
But I guess, okay, so I'm reading more about this now, and I'm skimming it, but it looks like furries are originally supposed to be just anybody who's interested in animals that have human traits.
Yeah, I'm looking at a lion right now with really big tits.
I was actually just looking at more with at like Bugs Bunny and shit like that. I don't know what site you're on.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
this is
shit.
Go ahead.
The largest furry convention is actually held in Pittsburgh.
I was just going to say that. I just saw that.
Attendance in 2012, damn, I missed it, was, we'll round up to 5,200.
Well, that's not that many.
I mean, well, yeah, and that's the largest convention. So maybe it's not as big as I thought. But still, I mean, that's a pretty decent size. That's a pretty dedicated group to also have its own wiki.
I want to see some of these other conventions. If that's the biggest one, I want to see these conventions where, like, four people show up.
It's just held in a gymnasium. It's just real awkward. You just walk in thinking that you'll blend in, and, like, five people hoard you at the door.
It's like a middle school dance. What kind of music do you listen to at something like that?
Yeah, what do they play?
The Baha Men. Something really bad. There's no way that these people like good music.
Was the Baha Men the ones that did Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yes.
That was a great pull. Well done, sir.
So, of course, as our logic goes, unless you follow it very closely, Baha Men led into David Hasselhoff. And then Greg had this thing to share about David Hasselhoff, about how he was the spokesman for Cumberland Farms. And then I had to share about a video that has haunted me to this day. Not the cheeseburger video, but an actual Hasselhoff music video.
The Baha Men, almost as popular as David Hasselhoff in Germany. Ooh. Actually, no, he's huge in Germany.
He's huge, yeah. Did you see the new Hasselhoff commercial for Cumberland Farms?
No.
Yeah. He like, makes a sand piano, and then, like, this woman and her boyfriend show up, and the woman is all impressed that it's Hasselhoff, but he looks terrible. I mean, obviously, he's old and shit, but he drinks her iced coffee that she got from Cumberland Farms, and then asks her if she wants to bang out a tune. I'm not joking.
Wow.
Good advertising.
Wow. If you watch David Hasselhoff videos on YouTube, it's pretty bad.
Oh, like the one when he's shit-faced and eating the hamburger on the floor?
No, I mean like his music videos.
Oh, yes.
There's one that he does that's hooked. He does Hooked on a Feeling, and he does Jump in My Car, and those are the only two that I really remember
Yeah, I think I've seen Hooked on a Feeling, but other than that, I haven't really perused too much.
Jump in My Car, I think it's called Jump in My Car, or Get in My Car.
Like the Billy Ocean song?
I think, so. Maybe, I don't know.
As in Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car?
I don't know if he does that or not, but I forget what it is, but I remember that the car that he's in is basically Kit. Yeah, it really is Kit in the music video. That's another one that I'll have to put up, but because it's definitely worth watching, because he picks up a girl, and then I believe at the end he tells her to get out of the car.
Oh, yeah, because he's obviously too good for anyone willing to get into his car.
And I may be making this up, but in my mind, he kicks her out with an ejection seat.
Oh, my God.
But it definitely involves Kit.
Well, I don't think he has anything else going on as far as, like, cars go, so.
Yeah, and Baywatch Nights got canceled.
I liked Baywatch Hawaii. No, that's a lie. I did not, but...
Baywatch Nights was pretty funny, and I like that their tagline was, because it's cooler at night.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And he opened a private investigation office with the black cop, beach cop. That always drove the ATV
on the
beach.
Yes, the ATV. Yeah. I was waiting for the day when he ran someone over with that thing. Because he was reckless. I don't know why I'm analyzing it.
So it
needs to be mentioned.
Yeah. So I'm watching. So I found the jump. It's called Jump in My Car. But he is dancing in it, and it is awful.
I bet you're just being way too critical of the Hoff.
No, I'm really not. But yeah, Jump in My Car. Really, really interesting music video. I haven't gotten to the end yet, so I don't know if it's an ejection seat. But that's what I remember. But he's as famous in Germany as Debbie Gibson is in Japan.
Debbie Gibson's really famous in Japan?
I believe so, because she released a couple albums only in Japan. And apparently they weren't like platinum or something. So hang on. I'm about to find out if it's really... Yep.
He uses an ejection seat to kick the woman out of the car.
Yes. I don't know what she says to him right before that, but he pulls over and is yelling at her. And at one point in the music video, he has horns coming out of his head, like demon horns, and says, "Get out of my car." And she's trying to be like, "Well, no, I can do something right." And he goes, "No." And then hits an ejection seat and she goes flying out.
What was she going to do right? She gonna blow him?
I think that's the intention. I don't know. I was watching it without sound, so I'm really just piecing this together.
I still say that Dan Marino and David Hasselhoff may or may not be the same person. Have you ever seen them together?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they do look a lot alike.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that me and Dan Marino are the same person because you've never seen us together.
You do not look like Dan Marino. Yes.
That's true.
But you know what? You do have the same amount of Super Bowl rings as he does.
Words can't even explain how easy the Hoff has made it to hassle him. Like, he's basically just saying, come fuck with me. Like, just make fun of me and just, I am now a mockery of myself. It's just blows my mind. Anyway, I should probably lay off the Hoff for a little while, because otherwise Germans might get very mad at me. And, I know we have some people that listen in Germany. So if you're listening in Germany and you really like David Hasselhoff, I'm really sorry about that. But there's also a decent chance that, like, you don't like something that's really big over here and that's German, like, I don't know. I don't have anything for you. But anyway, you know, apologies to German people if you don't like us hassling the Hoff. Anyway, that's it for Butcher Wrong the best of the crap, volume 2. Volume 3 will probably be available before the end of this year, because I just imagine it being an issue. So look forward to that. Pretty soon, actually, I think in this whole thing, we actually start walking, I would say. I think pretty soon, I think starting with 15, we're going to start walking. We're going to start doing that thing where we go a few steps and then we panic. Like the Roadrunner, not Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote. And we just panic and we're just like, we're not holding on to anything. Mom and Dad's not here. And then we just fall. Thankfully, we're not like falling off a cliff. We're just falling on our butts. And then your grandmother's like, oh, ha ha. And then they do a little clap and they're just like, hey, he fell, you know. And then you're just like, why is everybody laughing at me? Fuck you guys. But you really just cry because you're a baby. Anyway, we start doing that stuff soon. So that is something, I guess, to look forward to. Check out our new episode coming out on Saturday. Make sure you have entered our contest. If you haven't yet, go to facebook.com. Somewhere near the top of the page should be the official contest rules. You can win yourself a gift card, do some online shopping and some other stuff. Go to podcastland.com and vote for us to be podcast of the month. Or at least keep us in the top 20 if you can. I think we've dropped down a little bit because I haven't been promoting it enough, lately. You know, all you really have to do is, just remember, no regrets and stay sexy.